thoughts or memories and whatever, Dan. One of my things I just wanted to have happen in my career was to take a team to the state basketball tournament. And as a, never happened as a coach, but then as I thought as an administrator, well, I got to my last year and all of a sudden it's happening. And, we go down in basketball and we won the state tournament championship. And so the only mistake I made that evening was I told Susie, I said, the team is over at the other hotel. Let's go over and see what's going on. So we drove over there and I walked into the lobby and there was a swimming pool there with windows and you could see the kids. And all of a sudden, these guys come out and grab me and threw me in the pool, and Mike was one of them. But wasn't that a great trip as far as that whole season was concerned? And
it was amazing, you know. And the year or two before that season, you know, Joe Daly and Kelchin's dad, and what was the other one? Jack Gruden, I think, might have been involved a little bit. You know, they had all these summer tournaments that they played in. So those guys played so well together, yeah. You know. And Mike was invited in, you know, with the rest of them were basically all seniors,
right.
You know. And they just accepted him and fit right in and everything. And yeah, to win the first time boys state basketball tournament and then come back that fall and win the state football.
Exactly.
That summer, though, Mike was the one that got most of the guys to go to these football camps.
Okay.
And got them going. And, you know, the strange thing is after that, they won that football state tournament, the following year, I even tried to get some of those students to go to their football camps because I know that made a difference, and they refused to go. You know, it was kind of like, we're just going to ride on this. We're pretty darn good, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that senior year with Mike, that was pretty phenomenal. Well, even the junior year, but with football, they always had these parties on a weekend, you know, and it was parents would put them on.
Yeah, I remember those.
So we had it at our place, and we had a campfire out in the back. And, you know, being a teacher, you know, a lot of times you get into a social area like that, some of the students get a little bit, you know, a little bit reserved or whatever. And we had cheerleaders there that night and a lot of football players, and my wife and I took turns going out, you know, just checking on them and so forth, and they just accepted us, you know, and so forth. And I'll never forget the time that Dan Willenbrink asked his son, he was a junior,
Rick,
he said to his son, could there be a problem that they bring in any type of alcohol? And I'll never forget what Dan told me. He says, Rick looked at me and he says, Dad, if anybody brings alcohol to those football parties on a Saturday night, Mike Elgin to beat the shit out of them.
Well, lots of different memories going through that. I sort of thought that the team, Mike's junior football team, had more talent than the team that won the championship. They didn't. I mean, they lost. They didn't make it to the finals. But
well, here's what Coach Gilbert told us. He says, the state football team that won Mike's senior year was not the most talented team that he ever coached.
Yeah.
But he says they were the most coachable team that he ever coached.
Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
Thing about, yeah, when they won the championship, and back, I had just retired, but I still, every Friday morning, the coaches got together at downtown Epworth for breakfast. And so I went to those, and before the finals, they were there, and so they were visiting and talking, and they were concerned about one of the guys' kids that played. I think his name was Nathan Feldman.
Yeah.
And he'd been injured, and they weren't sure if he could play the championship game. Well, guess who the guy was that played in made the interception at the end. It was Feldman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's a really kind of creepy thing. Before we played McCokita that senior year, you know, and that was a game that was just won right at the end. It was very controversial, you know, with the plays or whatever, you know. But we had the pep rally. Leo Ganzen was asked to give a speech. For why, I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either.
And did you remember him, though?
Yeah.
Remember what he said in the speech?
No.
All he said was, that was a Friday night game, right? He says, tomorrow morning, the people in McCokita are going to be talking about Mike Elgin. When you bragged Mike up. Mike set a school record that Friday night, 28 tackles. And I thought, how did Leo Ganzen have any idea that this was going to be going this way, you know? But Mike was dedicated. You know, he was because Kilberg wanted to move him up his sophomore year, and I says, Tom, so you put him on the varsity. I says, you got to be darn sure he's good enough to play right from the get-go. I says, because otherwise, I said, if you move a kid up and they get knocked down a number of times by seniors, it changes their whole perspective on how they're going to play the game. So he left them go, and Mike had a heyday, you know.
Well, I mean, my memory of Mike in football is when he would tackle somebody, you know, you'd see a normal tackle, but when he tackled somebody, the guy would disappear. He was gone.
Yeah. I forget what game it was his sophomore year. He tackled this one kid, and I don't know who it was on our team, says, nice toss, Mike. The kid just flew down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then, Mike moves on to Iowa. You guys must have had some great experiences down there.
We went to all of his games but two. Now, when he was redshirted, the away games we didn't go to, but after that we went to every one. And the one game that we missed was when Sarah was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Okay. You know,
and then the other game, I'm trying to think of what was going on, there was something else going on. But there was only two, and that included away and home games.
Okay, well, you guys did some traveling then.
Yeah. And then when he played in the pros for those first 2 years or year and a half, we were jet setting. We'd fly to different places, you know, to go to see the Patriots play with Tom Brady and so forth, because that's where he started off. So we had a good run. And then it was over. And then I was bored in the wintertime, you know. And the crazy thing that happened was, you know, I had gone over to Beckman when I retired.
What year was that? That was
2002. Because Mike graduated in 2001. And so I stayed one more year when he was redshirted. And I went over to Beckman and said, you know, I'd consider, you know, teaching them the same course, you know, just one class. I also went into the lady gal that was principal at Western Dubuque and offered the same thing. And then I started raising a lot of hell with the way she was running the school and the way Bev was running the district. So I started getting on talking to the school board,
okay,
and letting him know what was going on, and they started listening, and so she didn't want any part of me.
You know? that was just too bad. That was unfortunate.
Yeah, it was.
To hire someone as superintendent with no experience.
Yeah. So then I'm over in Darsville. This was probably a year or two after Mike got out of playing football, and it was right now, right before Christmas, and it was kind of snowing about the same kind of day, and I knew Pat Mead was principal, and so I knew Pat from DeWitt, because Sarah played ball against him, and I'll never forget when Sarah, the last game she played against DeWitt, he went up to Sarah and says, thank God, you're graduating. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go over and say hi to him. You know, he was just a fantastic guy from what I knew from coaching, and now he's principal. And then I thought, no, I got too much to do at home, and I had to get it done. So I went home, and I got in the house, and Grace says, you'll never guess who called. I says, who? She says, Pat Mead wants to talk to you. So I called him, and I says, how's it going, and so forth. And he says, I want to talk to you. He says, NICC is no longer going to send a teacher over to teach this psych course, and you've got the master's to teach it. so I want to know if you're interested. So I says, okay. So I went over, set up my conditions, and said, fine.
Well, you went.
That's
been there ever since.
Yeah, been there ever since.
Wow.
You know? So I says, you never know what's around the corner of life. You know, I'd have never guessed. But then when I told Sarah, she says, oh, Dad, you can't do that. They've been our biggest rivalry for years. How can I? I said, well, I heard some stories about Beckman. Now we'll find out if they're true or not. You know, so I really like it over there. It's really, really a good experience. So that's kind of where I ended up over there. Otherwise, I'd be just, just farming, I guess.
A gentleman farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
How's the parish doing, St. Clement's?
Well, I don't know what this pastorate, Bob, what the heck's going on. We keep getting all these letters now wanting us to pledge money for all the repairs that have to be done and the future repairs. They want to build up a fund, and my thought is, you know, the people of Bankston have been very giving over the years, and if you need something done, you ask for it and you get it. Well, they want you to budget every month, and us farmers, we got talking about that. We said, farmers don't have that. They don't have a steady monthly income.
Right.
You know, like right now, we're selling cattle, so we've got a lot of money coming in, but then come the summer months and all the way until we start selling in the fall, we don't have hardly anything coming in, you know. So
right.
Says you
it's all going out.
Yeah, it's all going out, you know. And so we're getting all this literature through the mail now, everything, you know. And I'm
St. Elizabeth's pastorate,
right? And I'm suspicious about just how much money are we actually spending on just sending all this stuff out.
Well, have you ever been to the pastorate office in Epworth? Have you ever been in that building?
Well, I've just been in one of the rooms there.
I mean, that's a pretty good sized operation. I keep thinking for.
Well, you knew Mindy McDermott that worked in the bank at Epworth.
Yeah.
She quit working for the bank. She got hired immediately by the pastorate, and from what Junior Simon, now that's where I get, you know, secondhand information all the time. He said she's making more money at the pastorate and with better benefits than she was making at the bank.
Wow.
And they hired her right on. So they got so many people over there.
That's why I kind of wonder, geez, really? Is this what we need? But I don't know.
And so I'm waiting for the next financial statement. You know, we didn't get one last year for some reason. I haven't been to Bankston Church for probably 7, 8, 9 years because we started going to Oak Crest when Grace's folks got in there. And so we kept going every Sunday, and then we'd take them out for meals until they couldn't go.
Okay, so Oak Crest is that?
One at Darswell. Nursing home. Or old age home. So now, I like an early mass. 10 o'clock at Bankston is way too late. So we go to like 7 o'clock at Darswell or 7:30 at Epworth. And then we got the rest of the day to ourselves.
Yeah,
so I haven't been in the Bankston Church for a long time.
So we don't. We go to Resurrection in Dubuque. They have a 9 o'clock mass. Perfect time for us.
Yeah.
So.
What's the earliest mass they have?
That's Resurrection?
Yeah.
You'd have to check. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's a nice experience whenever we go there.
Because I can't sleep late. All these years I had to get up and do chores.
Yeah,
before.
I don't either.
And so I'm up by 5:30. And some mornings, you know, if I'm not feeling the best or whatever, I go to Mass on TV.
Okay.
5:30 Mass on TV. Half an hour is just super homily and everything, you know.
Sure.
So.
We've been I want to call it church hopping, kind of, we'll go to different places. Last summer we went to the BBMs in Dubuque, and there was one other guy there. They're all elderly, mostly elderly nuns. But we went there. We went to the Mass at Clark one Sunday, just for a different experience. And
have you ever been to the midnight Mass, Christmas Mass over at the monastery?
Yes. One time.
We have too. That's kind of a unique experience.
that is very interesting.
Yeah.
But
You know, these pastors are encouraging you to almost go to different places because they keep changing the mass schedule for one thing. You know, it's not consistent. Catholic Church is kind of off the subject, but it's got a long ways to go. You know, they're losing a lot of people.
They are. And, you know, Kelly, our middle daughter, she's married to Ryan Novak. His mother was a minister. She passed away some time ago, but they're strong Lutherans. I like a lot of the stuff that they do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, when Sarah went to get married, she says, "Dad," she says, "I am very much into religion," but she said, "It's not the Catholic Church. They go to a, I guess, kind of a non-denominational one, you know."
Yeah.
And my God, Bob, where they go, you walk in and there's goddamn screens all over the place, you know, and they got a band up there playing, and the person yeah. comes out and gives a heck of a, you know, exciting homily.
It's
and
an
so
experience.
Forth, you know, and then they have the communion, the little bitty host and a little bitty wine, you know, and so forth, you know. So she says, "Dad, I'm not going to be phony." She says, "I know you and Mom would like us to get married in a Catholic church, but," she says, "I'm not going to be phony." So living in Indianapolis, where she's lived all this while, they decided, well, they'd try to find a minister in Dubuque. Well, her fiancé called to a guy in Dubuque, and he says, "Well, you know, have you gone through the pre-cana, you know, or whatever they called it, you know, this preparation for marriage?" And he says, "No, well, you got to have 6 months or whatever it was." And he says, "Well, geez, you know, we're in our mid to late 30s, you know, we've got a lot of experience behind us." And then the one guy, I don't know what the one guy says, and my son-in-law says, "Is your name God?" That he clicked up, you know. So they had a call about four or five different places, finally found the lady minister who had just had breast cancer surgery and treatment afterwards, and she had been off, not doing much, but she says, "I'll be more than glad to do it." So she did it out at the winery at Banks, at Bankston.
Parkview.
You know, and it was just beautiful, you know.
Yeah,
very meaningful, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, that's where the Catholic Church is missing some things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
They don't come, you know. At one time we had a priest that we wanted him to come to the home and explain First Communion to the kid that was going to receive First Communion. And the priest looked at us and said, "Well, if I do that for you people, I have to do it for the rest of them." And we says, "How many's in the communion class?" "Well, I'm not real sure." And I said, "Well, there's only five." So then he did come.
Did he?
Oh, you know, but things like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're so busy doing everything else, you know, that they...
Yeah.
And they got to take Monday off, you know. And I said to him one time, I says, "How many of us married people get a day off, you know?"
Yeah.
"Well, that's your choosing." I says, "Well, that might be, but," I says, "if you're dedicated, you know." So I've had some big arguments with him. Giving him a real hard time.
Anyway, thanks for...